it was really hard to sit on the album for over a year, for sure.
Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. We talk about our favorite records. Talking Records Podcast. We're so glad you tuned in. Thank you all for listening. You showed up to the right place. Jed and his friends dive deep and analyze the records we have grown to love. We'll tell you how we found the band, then give you a track-by-track breakdown of all the songs. So grab your favorite beverage and pull up a seat. Today we'll look at another record in its entirety.
Hello, what's up, everyone? My name is Jed, and you're listening to the Talking Records Podcast. It's a podcast focusing on great albums, how they were made, the stories that go along with them. I'm just a huge fan of music. And being a details guy, I love to know the little bits of information that add to my enjoyment of the album. I'm thrilled to be joined in a moment by Mike from the band Chaser.
Be sure to follow Talking Records on social media. We can be found on Instagram or Talking Records Podcast. We can also be found on Twitter and YouTube. Give us a like or a follow, and we'll try to keep fresh content coming your way daily. You can also visit our website at talkingrecordspodcast.com. There you'll find episodes, merch, and more. You can even drop us an email at talkingrecords@outlook.com. These are all great ways for us to connect with you over all the great music we enjoy. We would love to get this podcast in front of more music lovers, and you can help us by providing us with a positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume podcasts, as every review helps us reach more listeners. Also, word of mouth is helpful too. All right, thanks everyone.
Hailing from Orange County, California, Chaser has been playing their brand of melodic punk since 2000. Releasing the album every few years, the band worked hard to not only maintain the band, but to grow and hone their craft. I discovered the band in 2018, when the playlist I was listening to ended and Spotify decided to play me things similar to what I'd been listening to. You know, Bad Religion, Noise for a Name. Chaser's song Nightmares came on, and from the opening guitar riff, I took notice. Who the hell was this? I dove headlong into the band's deep catalog of albums, EPs, and singles, and was psyched to discover a long-standing band that was new to me. These guys were starting with a heavy 90s punk influence, but pushing it forward. Intricate breakdowns, current lyrics, a fuller sound, harmonies, all stuff studied from those late 90s Fat Epitaph bands and applied with newfound energy. I just loved it. The band's 2021 album ended up as one of my most listened to albums of the year. The band's album, Dreamers, was released on April 9th, 2021 on SoundSpeed Records in the US, Thousand Islands in the US and Canada, Spam Records in Europe, and P Records in Australia. Here to tell me more about Dreamers is Chaser vocalist Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, bro. What's happening?
Thanks for coming on. This is awesome. Been overworked, I guess you were telling me.
Yeah, it's been a busy. Since COVID, it's been extremely busy. But we're short staffed and a lot of calls. So yeah, it's been busy for sure.
Yeah, I hear you, man. Nobody substitute teaching these days. So if we're out, it's like chaos ensues.
Nice, dude. But yeah, man, I know we played Phone Tag a few times and glad to finally be on your podcast, man. And like I told you before, I love it. It's one of my favorite podcasts.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that you've been listening. I'm a listener of yours too. So look at that.
Heck yeah. Oh, great.
Well, welcome to Talking Records Podcast, Mike. I am super excited to have you on today to talk Dreamers.
Yeah, let's do it. And all things punk rock.
Yes. And all things punk rock. Dreamers was like my most listened to album in 2021. I must listen to it just hundreds of times. And I see that it made a lot of other people's end of the year lists as well. So first of all, congratulations.
Thanks, man. And that's really cool to hear that you loved it. And yeah, we got such a great response and feedback from it. And we did make a ton of, top record lists and, you know, for whatever it's worth, that means a lot to us because there's a lot of great music out there. Bands are just killing it right now. So,
yeah,
happy we were up there and that it was received like it was.
Yeah, the album's tight. It's not repetitive at all. It moves quickly from start to finish. There's no fat on it. But, you know, it still provides a lot for the listener to stay engaged. I'm a huge fan, as you know, of 90s punk rock. And, you know, I hear a lot of that in there. I know you guys are influenced and inspired by a lot of that stuff, too. So
90s style melodic skate punk, you know, 90s Epitaph and roster bands are our biggest influences. So, yeah.
Well, it's good stuff. So, Mike, tell me, what was the writing process like for this album? I know you've got like three songwriters in the band. Yeah.
Yeah, we all collaborate. We're all really good friends. We all work really well with each other. The synergy is just fires on all cylinders. It's a really great group of guys that we have. Yeah, we all throw something in the hat for songwriting. I'd say primarily for lyrics and song structure, it's me and Jesse, our bass player. Yeah. I'd say 60-40. I read about the majority of the songs and the lyrics, but then he writes his own songs, and I'd say our album is probably half and half, half his songs and half mine. And we both have a very similar style, but there's slight differences, and it just, they blend together really well. And that helps with the song sequencing as well too. That way you're not like, that way every song is not like the same format or the same style, you know?
Yeah. The same voice. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly. And yeah, he did a lot more vocals on this one as well. And he has a really cool voice. So yeah, we're going to keep that formula. And then our guitarist, you know, he comes up with awesome riffage and, you know, guitar chops, and he lays down the backbeat, and everybody has a creative input for sure.
So you come in with an idea and you're like, yeah, it kind of goes something like this, and I kind of want it to sound like that. And then all the guys just kind of do their thing.
100%. That's how it goes. In fact, I'll let you kind of into our world when it comes to songwriting. I sit down with my acoustic guitar. Mm-hmm. I'll just throw some chords together, and I'll hum like a melody over it until I come up with a melody that seems like it would be catchy. And that's how I write songs. It all starts with just putting some chords together, humming a melody, maybe freestyling some words just to get like a rhyme scheme and the syllables and stuff. And then when I come up with something, I usually only write from like the first verse, maybe an intro if I'm feeling really creative, but usually it's the first verse through the bridge. And I usually always cut out the bridge, and the guys, but like every time I said something, okay, we're going to have to write a bridge. But so I'll record it on my iPhone on a voice memos, me freestyling or humming the melody over acoustic guitar, and then I'll send it to them. And then they take it, and they, right off the bat, they're like, yeah, this is something we want to work with for sure. And that's how we write. We're pretty grassroots, but since we're all involved in the writing process, then like everybody jumps in and like, oh, I think this would be cool here. Like, oh, I could throw this lead or also here. And Jesse really helps me with the vocal melodies. I don't know if you ever heard, NOFX is Wolves in Wolf's Clothing.
Yeah. Yep.
At the very end, there's a secret, like a bonus track. And it's Fat Mike basically doing that same thing. So that's exactly how I write too. If I ever meet you in person, I'll let you hear all the voice memos. I have hundreds in my phone.
You must have, just, yeah, I was going to say, you must have like 300 of those things, like 20, 25 second, 60 totally. Second clips.
Exactly. Sometimes just the 20 second clip turns into a full song, and those are the ones that make the album.
That's awesome. And then you have like an archive of ideas so that if you ever don't end up using something and then you kind of come back to it later, you're like, oh, I got to use this. This was great. How come I never used this?
Yeah, they're all in there. They're all documented.
Don't ever lose your phone.
Sure. I back it up, but yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You got to.
Definitely.
Well, that's great. Yeah, I do that sometimes. Like, I'll just be playing. And it's the sound quality is surprisingly good.
It is. Yeah.
Just throwing out some ideas, humming some goofiness over the top of it. So the lyrics must come last then.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. That's always the very, very last step, because kind of we kind of base the lyrics or the song concept based on the feel of the music. You know, so if it's a heavier song or heavier guitar riffs, then, you know, it might be more deep meaning. Whereas like a song like Good Times is like really uplifting. It's got that really cool bass riff in the intro, and it's just like, you know, uplifting and fun, and that's going to call for lyrics that are more upbeat and positive and, you know, PMA, that kind of stuff.
And we'll get to the lyric content in a moment, because I know you guys really do like to focus on the positive stuff. But kind of going with that, I gather you wrote you guys were on tour when you wrote a lot of these, right? Over in Europe?
Yeah. We used our time together on the road to write songs for sure.
So when you're on the road and you're, you know, you're doing the day in and day out, what kinds of things like inspire your writing? Like you can only write so many songs about stinky feet in the van. So like, what are you looking out for? What are you noticing? Do you ever get like, you know, like little swatches of ideas that
I do.
You can then turn into bigger ideas?
Yeah, it just society as a whole. And like, for example, I was in, we were on tour in the UK and we were in Scotland. Just the architecture is just so old. And like, I got the concept for the song Echoes from that. We're in Edinburgh. I just thought to myself while I was walking those cobblestone streets, it's like, man, people have been walking the same roads, this same exact little alleyway, this little road here for hundreds, if not thousands of years.
Yeah.
So it inspired me, like, we got to do better as society. Like, we can't make the same mistakes, the wars and the bloodshed and all the negative things that mankind has done. So, just like being in a historical place like that sparked an idea for a song. Definitely society, social politics. We don't dive into politics too much. We're definitely, you know, pretty, we walk a fine line. We don't lean one way or the other. We like to leave our songs as that everybody can relate to as much as possible. But we talk about social politics, just like how society interacts with one another and, you know, just what we can do better as man and woman in a modern age to be more civil and make the world a better place, you know?
That's great.
So yeah, we definitely get inspired by the road.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta. I mean, when you're on the road, it just opens up your world to like all these experiences. And like you said, seeing architecture and being in places you've never been in. I mean, that's gotta really get you going.
Totally. It's very humbling and it allows you to get out of your bubble. Like, you know, America is so young compared to the rest of the world. Like, walking in a city that's been there for over 1,000 years and you realize, man, we've only been a country for less than 300. It's very eye-opening and it makes you a more well-rounded person, I believe.
So you got the songs written and you head into Buzz Bomb Studios in Orange, California. And the record was produced by Death by Stereo's Paul Miner. So what was it like working with Paul?
Paul's great. He's awesome. That was actually hands down the easiest and funnest recording experience we've ever had. He's very laid back. He lets us take the ball and run with it, you know, if we have any ideas, but he'll also like kind of steer you in the right direction. And so he gives his input as well. It's just a really like fun, laid back environment. And that's what we kind of need. That's what we thrive on. Like we've had producers in the past and engineers that have been like really strict and that's not a bad thing. Mm. We need someone to hold on the reins a little bit, but also kind of let us, you know, do our thing and go at a pace that's comfortable for us.
I've heard like a lot of different people tell me like different, you know, different things their band needs. I mean, sometimes your band needs a guy to kick your ass and sometimes the band needs a guy to just cheer you on. And it's always different. It's probably different from album to album.
It is. Yeah. We worked with a different producer or / engineer on every record so far. Every engineer has been a little different for sure. The chemistry with Paul worked out really good.
So what are some examples of his production? Like, what are some things that really stood out to you that he suggests or helped you with?
Being that he's a musician himself, a bassist, and he does vocals too, he definitely helped with bass lines and suggestions for Jesse. And he helped us with a lot of cool harmonies.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So that's awesome. That was probably some of his strongest suit that he helped us with for sure.
He had done your previous EP, right? Look Alive. Did he help you with that?
So check this out. So we recorded 15 songs with him. We were set to release Dreamers, a 13 song, the same songs that are on it now, in summer of 2020. We literally finished recording the album the day before the world shut down. It's the end of March.
Wow.
Yeah. So we were all set to, we had all these plans, you know, okay, we're going to release it this date in the summer of 2020. And then we had a full European tour lined up and, you know, everything was all good to go. And then COVID hit. So then we decided to sit on it. We didn't want to release it, you know, and we couldn't tour on it. You know, we didn't want it to fall on deaf ears or anything. So
right.
what we were going to do was release the album and then release those two songs that were on Look Alive just as like a follow-up in 2021, just to kind of fill the gap. But we reversed it. So we released those in, I think, late 2020, and then the album in April of 2021.
All right.
So, yep. Just
that makes sense. Yeah.
Keep people, you know, to keep on the radar. It was really hard to sit on the album for over a year, for sure.
I was going to ask you, yeah, how tough was it to have this great music that is just shelved for a year?
Totally. Yeah, we were going stir crazy, but like there was no end in sight in 2020, you know? We're like, okay, let's ride it out and see what happens. And finally, but the beginning of 2021, we're like, okay, there's still really no light at the end of the tunnel. There's vaccines now, which is great. Shows weren't back yet, but we're like, you know what, let's just roll the dice and pull the trigger. And we decided to release it in spring or April of 2021. Thank God then shows came back around shortly thereafter. So I think we played our first show back after the pandemic in July of 2021.
Wow.
So we were able to do like a CD release party and play some really cool local shows. And now finally, tomorrow we actually leave. We finally get to travel abroad again. And we're doing a week in Eastern Canada. We're going to be supporting No Fun at All and Satanic Surfers. And we're doing Red Birch Fest out there.
Wow. Excellent. You must be psyched.
So pumped. That's honestly probably our favorite thing of being in a band, is being able to play internationally, travel the world, see the sights, kind of like we were just talking about earlier, you know, seeing different cities and cultures and lifestyles, and just getting to play for the fans and meet the fans from around the world is the most gratifying thing, I think, being in a band.
Yeah.
For us, at least.
Especially after not having done it for so long. And
totally. Yeah. We're super. And we're a very personable band too. Like, you know, we're always communicating online on social media, but at shows, like that's where we really thrive. And we're always in the crowd. You know, we're having beers with the fans. We're always mingling. We're always at the merch table before and after a set. Like, we're very accessible. So I think that's why it's so important to us to play internationally, is to, you know, meet and greet and hang out with fans who, you know, enjoy our music. And they're always very thankful that we come, and it's just always a good time. So that's the best part. Yeah.
That is the best part. Just getting out there to meet people and see where your music has landed. And
yeah, dude, meeting fans is the coolest thing. It's the most gratifying thing of being in a band, for sure.
Back to the studio. I'm just kind of curious. I always ask this of vocalists. Are you present for like every step of the way, or do you kind of come in when it's time to do vocals, or do you play any instruments on the record? Or so what was your role throughout the process?
That's a really good question, man. I'm always there, just because it's, you know, we're all like super involved in every aspect.
That's like great.
Tell our guitarist, hey, I think you should play this instead. But I just like being there when he records, and I just like hanging out and seeing everybody do their parts. So normally I'm there pretty much every step of the way. But actually this for Dreamers, it was different. So my daughter got really sick, and it probably was COVID. It was before they were testing, January of 2020. And that's when we got into the studio. So she was in the hospital for over a month. And I couldn't be there. And that's when we tracked drums, bass, guitar, everything was slated for the month of January. So I couldn't be there at all for the whole thing. But they held it down, and they killed it. Thank God she got better. And then I was able to pop in and do all the vocals.
Were they sending you like updates?
Yeah, a lot of videos and updates. And that just kind of goes to show how easy it was to work with Paul again. He's so easy. Everybody in the band is able to work with him easily, you know? Mm-hmm. So they're holding it down while I was gone, and not that they couldn't have without me there. You know, everybody's
right
type musician. So, but yeah, so that was a different for me, for sure. Cause I'm always involved every step of the way, but to not be there for like the entire recording process, except for vocals, was different, but it worked out.
Well, I'm glad to hear your daughter's okay.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was really, really bad for a long time. It was scary. Yep, she pulled through.
So something that stands out to me with Chaser, you were mentioning earlier about the PMA, is the message of positivity. Why is that message so important to you guys?
You know, dude, when we reformed about 4 years ago with our current lineup, mm-hmm. and we did that, we kind of took it upon ourselves. We actually had this conversation. We're like, you know, we should really stand for something as a band, almost like a mission statement, which I think is pretty cool and unique. You know, I don't know if too many bands have like something that they really stand for. I know a lot do, but like that was important to us. We didn't want to just make random music and just kind of shoot by the seat of our pants when it comes to like lyric writing and everything. So we wanted like a mission statement or like a vision, you know, for the band. And that was the thing important to us. Like if there's one thing that we could do through music to try to, for lack of better words, help the world, it's try to let everybody know, like to be positive, to have a positive mental aspect in life and to help your fellow man, to be a good human being and just help each other out in life. So that was kind of like our mantra, and that is our mantra and our ethos and what we stand for. So that's why a lot of our lyrics revolve around that.
Well, I think that's great because I'm a big proponent of positivity. You know, I remember there was a time in my life when I wasn't positive, and I just remember how that negative mindset really set me back. And when I was able to really focus on the positive and get myself into that place, I was more prepared for like the harder stuff or the negative stuff because I was starting on positive footing. So I just think that's really great.
Yeah, that's exactly it, bro. That's exactly what we hope for. And we've had countless fans tell us, man, your lyrics really resonated with me, or they really spoke to me and they got me through a dark period, got me out of a rut, out of a bad day, whatever the case may be. So that means a lot to us big time. And even if it's like a darker song or whatever, we always try to put a positive spin on it, you know, or another. And it all comes down to the individual and just being a good human being and you know, respecting and loving your fellow man and woman. And just, you know, like you said, having that positive mental attitude and putting your best step forward. There's going to be ups and downs. Maybe if you could start with a positive mental attitude, then that'll help you somewhat. So
just give each other a break, you know. Our society is so quick to like just jump on people and attack and just be like defensive and angry and, you know.
100%.
Stepping back and just being like, let's just relax, you know.
There's too much negativity in the world as it is. So just at the very least, if you could, you know, just take care of yourself and you know, your friends and family and try to set a good example for others by being a good human, that's what we're trying to endorse and promote.
Awesome. All right, well, I want to dig into the songs on Dreamers a little bit. And so the first question I have for you is kind of a weird one. In the title track Dreamers, who is Frank?
Frank Turner. That is Frank Turner.
All right.
Yeah. So Jesse, he wrote that song, and he is a huge Frank Turner fan. And there was a line in one of Frank's songs that resonated with him. And it's the only thing that's left to do is live. So he got inspired by that one single line. Yeah, so that's who the reference to Frank is in that one.
All right.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure it out myself, and I'm like, But that's great. Yeah. I love that song, Dreamers. I love the vocal play in the chorus. Big fan of that kind of stuff. You know, the layered vocals, you know, the Bad Religion kind of stuff.
Yeah, Jesse and I do a lot of back and forth, and then we harmonize with each other as well. So
I also love, and I might be, so I'm really reading into these lyrics a lot here. I also love that you guys seem to drop like album title references. Like there's a part where you say Unknown Roads. There's a line that says the process of believing, which is very close to the process of belief.
Yeah.
See the light is a Less Than Jake thing. Was that on purpose or am I just a massive nerd?
That was 100% intentional. Yep. You nailed it. We really like to drop Easter eggs. See You at the Show has a ton actually.
Yeah.
Both album titles, lyrics, that's and band names, obviously. We take inspiration and we never kind of forget who our influencers are. So we like to drop Easter eggs in songs for sure.
That's cool, man. I caught a few of them.
Good insight.
Yeah, that's great. I love that kind of stuff. I always get psyched in like movies when there's like throwbacks to like, you know, like little things. Like I've been watching those new Star Wars shows, and every time there's like a little reference to like one of the movies, I'm like, yes, look at that.
That's it.
That's the hubcap that was in, you know.
Yep. Little throwbacks for sure.
We've lost that human touch, a natural bond that once connected us. Feel up your walls and build them high. Nimrod was on the other side. Whoa, whoa, we're on its control.
Something in the Water takes a look at society's obsession with social media. Come with me to a society that runs on shares and likes. It's a very poignant line. Why are our devices poisoning our minds?
And in that song, it asks the question, is it a blessing or a curse? You know, it ties the world together, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's gotten to a point where like people are just so fake behind the screen, or can be. Like you touched on earlier, just like the negativity and the, you know, keyboard warriors and trolls and people that, you know, negativity like that. It could be such a great thing to have. And it is, it allows us to connect with our fans and family. And it's such a useful tool, but yeah, it's got a lot of negative strings tied to it. That song kind of begs the question, have we gone too far with it? Is it a good thing or a bad thing? You know? And, so we just wanted to, you know, kind of touch on the flaws of social media and, and try to encourage the listeners to not be so tied up with their phones and devices, and not hide behind screens and interact face to face. And like the opening line, there was a time when you look him in the eye, think before you act, listen to the voice inside, like use your own best judgment, have integrity, verbally communicate to somebody, more real than being able to type something, because there's no emotion, there's no tone, you know, so people could take things the wrong way. Tricky. It's a tricky subject for sure. And, you know, we've all seen, it seems like somebody could post the most positive thing, and then you look, read through the comments and the thread, and there's like people spin it around you know, people start arguing over some random thing, like
devastating.
Yeah. It's like, come on. Would you say that to someone in person? No. Hopefully not.
I was just going to say that, like, people write things that they would never say to a person, like, to their face, you know? And it always gets me where, like, when someone puts some nasty comment, you know, under like a YouTube video or like on Facebook, but then like their profile picture is like a picture of like their grandchildren or something. I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, for sure.
This outrageous comment, but next to these like two cute little faces, and it's like, ah. Yeah.
Come on, be cool.
Yeah. Well, it's just something that like can be so wonderful, but then like so terrible at the same time. It's such a fragile thing.
Yep. It's blessing or a curse. You got to fight the good fight and lead by example. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm for.
How's this reality now? You think that we can't see now? The ones who pull the strings get up at our expense. You got the money, but we have the common sense.
In 2020 and A New Direction, the band look at societal problems. I understand these were written before the pandemic. You guys wrote these songs and then sat on the record for a while. And our government's disastrous handling of the situation, were you kind of like watching that and being like, this is exactly what we're talking about?
Yeah, it was really kind of crazy how those songs kind of came to fruition, became somewhat true throughout the pandemic. And it doesn't matter which side you lean on, right or left, pro-vaccine, anti-vaccine, whatever, like, it was just, we were so polarized. Like, there was no middle, you know? And that was just very disheartening to see. And a lot of the lyrics in both those songs kind of fall right in that place, you know? Again, it all comes back to just doing what's right in life, and to each their own, you know, have your beliefs, but respect others. And yeah, we're way too divided at the moment.
I like that. You know, it is possible to have a differing of opinion and still be civil to one another.
Yeah, it's everybody's so just one side or the other, just a huge wedge driven between us. So,
yeah,
hopefully, you know, we're able to kind of get back on track, and the wedge doesn't get driven even further, you know?
Yeah.
As we come out of the pandemic, but we'll see.
It would be nice.
Yep.
When you write these societal songs, these songs about the world around you, do you have any models? Like, who do you lean on for sort of like influence?
Being that we keep things pretty ambiguous in general, you know, we don't lean one side or the other. Jim Lindbergh has always been probably one of my biggest influences, and he's always, you know, had like a common sense approach, and it's kind of right along the line of how we are. Like, if I were to say Propagandhi, like, they're very outspoken and, yeah, and super, super educated, but we're just, I don't want to say preach, but we don't go to that extreme, that level. Guys that keep it kind of generalized, just trying to remind people to do the right thing and be respectful of one another. So definitely Jim Lindbergh, Greg Graffin. I think those would be my two biggest for sure. Anti-flag, though, they're, you know, they're very humanitarian, and they basically follow, you know, just do what's right and let's all just come together. I know it sounds cliche. If you're thinking from like a kind of a general aspect, like that's all you can do is just do your best to, can we just all just get along, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear a little Russ Rankin in there too. I feel like you have like a charged delivery, but like it's clear and it's emotive, and I feel like you might find kindred spirits with Russ there.
You said that. Yeah, he's probably my biggest influence for like my vocal delivery. Kind of kind of charged, energetic, and he's also a very, very talented lyricist, and he's very poetic. He's able to get his point across in a very poetic way. Great call. I would definitely say Russ Rankin as well. And now they got us with our backs against the wall, pit against each other to separate us all. Our house divided and united will not stand. They're keeping us distracted, it's all part of the plan. Tonight as one, our mode is known.
In the song Signs of Life, you say pit against each other to separate us all. How do people not see that as people, we are constantly being distracted by our politicians whipping us all up on social issues and then pushing their crazy agendas while we're all arguing with each other on the internet?
Yeah.
You know?
And that's another song that kind of came to fruition throughout the pandemic. Yeah, we're like caged animals, backs against the wall. You know, do we just sit there and take it, or do we do something, use our voice, you know, be proactive to try to make change for the better? And again, that could just be as simple as when you're out in public, just talking to, you know, a random person or a stranger, or sometimes it's just that little thing that makes someone's day that will, you know, set them off on the right foot. And it's kind of like a chain reaction, you know, you spread positivity. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as that, or you could be an activist and, you know, get out and be in the picket line, things like that, you know, just do something to make the world a better place.
Yeah, or just reject, like, not accept, you know, what you're being fed, and say that, okay, I'm not going to go down that. I'm not going to buy into this. I'm not going to, you know, feed the fire, spread false information, or get whipped up. Like, I'm not going to let them whip me up, you know?
Yeah.
Stuff like that can also be.
Don't get on social media and stir the pot and rally everybody up. That, you know, that does nothing. Be good, do good, you know?
What inspired the song Break the Chain?
A hot southern night. It was 1955. Mother brought another stranger home for supper. Father's gone and won't be home till Christmas time. Lock the door and turn the lights. As the footsteps tap the floor inside, they tremble.
Jesse wrote that song, and it's from it's a true story. His mom, she grew up in a very rough household. So the second verse about the 13-year-old girl waking up in the back seat, that's about his mom, actually, when she was a teenager. Yeah, so her mom, she was adopted, but it was, you know, kind of like the first verse talks about rough household, a very rough upbringing, a lot of domestic issues. So she inspired him, and she was able to break that chain of, you know, negativity, and she didn't have very good people to look up to. Like, you know, mother figure, father figure to look up to, but she was able to turn it around, break that chain of hate and negativity. And now she has a beautiful family, and, you know, Jesse's her son. And, it's just about, like, you know, you can come from a rough upbringing and the world could be crumbling around you, but, you know, just break the chain and you could make a huge difference in the world. So,
wow.
Yeah. So all the lyrics,
make that choice. Yep.
All the lyrics in it are 100% true story, you know, all factual.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's great. Wow, that must have been kind of a challenge to write. I mean, when you get that sort of personal. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't, but
it's therapeutic for him. So he.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's once he has that, you know, notion like, okay, I'm going to write the song about this specific incident or this time in my mom's life. He's able to run with it. And yeah, he wrote that song pretty quickly. And yeah, we all loved it.
Yeah. I imagine
for the album as well.
Then bringing that to the band and being like, hey, I've got this idea. These are the lyrics I wrote. I mean, he must've been like, gee, I really hope the guys like this. And it's kind of that vulnerability that goes with being in a band and being a lyricist.
100%. Yeah, there is vulnerability, you know, because I write songs about my personal experiences and, you know, family dynamics, and some songs are more personal than others. And so there is exactly that vulnerability, but we always know we're, like I said before, we're all best friends and we love each other. And there's like no need at all for any insecurities, because like when he presented that to me, I'm like, oh yeah, that's deep. And you're getting a lot off your plate on this song, and it has to go on the album. Cause it fits the, kind of the theme of mm-hmm. Dreamer, you know, taking something negative and turning it positive.
And does he take most of the vocals on that, or does he hand it off to you?
I sing the verses. He does the pre-choruses. Cause we don't have the answers. All we know is that it's time to break and this pain. He does those. And then we both do the chorus. We sing the chorus together. It's kind of like a chant vocal type chorus.
Yeah.
Yep. So we come together on the chorus, and that's one of those songs where we kind of go back and forth, kind of like Dreamers and Signs of Life. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. I'm a big fan of like dual vocals and like stuff like that. I think it's great. It gives the listener, you know, more to listen to.
Yeah. It's great. He's a great vocalist, and we complement each other very well. So definitely. I'll remember it like yesterday, the news of Tony's lie. For me, that was without a doubt the day the music died. And here we go. On our way, we must carry on that torch that was set ablaze with passion.
Final track, See You at the Show, is a great tribute to the great bands, the scene, and music in general that obviously you and I grew up on and love. The crux of the song is the line, what will become of the scene that is our life? The future is so uncertain. Do you think this music will endure, or will it phase into like something different or unrecognizable? I mean, I know 90s punk was a lot different than 70s punk. So like, what are your thoughts on like that?
Great question. Yeah. So in the song, that's kind of the question that we ask the listener. Actually, not even more of a question. It's based more of a statement. Like, listen, there's bands out there like Chaser who will continue to carry the torch of this style of punk rock. Of course, this song is a tribute to all the bands that came before us who are huge influences on us. A lot of those little Easter egg nuggets we drop in there pays tribute to the bands that inspired us and who lit the torch. But we really want the listener to know that there's so many bands out there that they might not have heard yet that are going to continue this style of melodic punk rock. So no, I don't think, as long as, you know, when the big bands, you know, the legendary bands, your NoFX's, Bad Religions, Pennywise, bands like that, when they call it a day, kind of like I say in the song, you know, when they hang up the towel, I'm very optimistic that fans will reach out to the up and coming bands and, you know, do what they can to discover new bands and new acts that they might not have heard yet. So that song is all 100% is a tribute to the bands that paved the road for us. But also asking the listener to, you know, get out there and go support and seek out new up and coming bands that they might not have heard yet. Cause those are the bands that are going to continue to play when the big bands, unfortunately, you know, hang it up.
I mean, I think the scene will endure. One thing No Use for a Name drummer Rory Koff said to me when I interviewed him about Leche Con Carne not long ago was that, you know, things will never be the way they were in the mid-90s. You know, the punk about to break, the festivals, the opportunities, and the sense of being right there on the edge of something that was new and exciting.
Yeah.
But I think, like, the scene will present new comparable moments. So we might not ever have something like that again, but we'll have something sort of new, something we haven't even experienced yet.
That 100%. I totally agree with what he said and what you just said.
Yeah.
But what's cool though is I honestly feel like punk rock, this particular style of punk rock, skate punk, melodic punk, whatever you want to call it, is biggest now that it's been since the 90s. Yeah. So like he said, you know, punk broke, it was all like brand new. There was some radio play, and there's festivals, Warped Tour, you know, just started out, and it was like all new and exciting. And then in the 2000s, yeah, bands were still kind of floundering around and releasing stuff, but I feel like there's kind of a lull.
Yeah.
Not
absolutely.
As many putting out records, not as many festivals or bands touring. And then, man, in the last like 5 to 10 years, all the bands are putting out, all the legendary bands are putting out new albums. Everybody's touring again. There's tons of amazing festivals. So I honestly feel that punk is the biggest now that it's been since the 90s. It's exciting. You know, like you said, who knows what the next kind of wave is going to be, but there's fans out there, you know, guys like us that teenagers in the 90s, you know, we're all in our 30s and 40s now, but that's our main, that's all I listen to, you know, and I know so many people just like me that like, it's such a passion for them. So the fans are out there, the listeners are out there, and it's exciting because there's a lot of up and coming bands, kind of like we were just talking about, that are getting better and bigger. And yeah, so it's an exciting time.
Up and coming bands who are able to now utilize different ways of recording. You know, some bands are recording in their homes on
yeah.
computers. Some are able to, you know, email files across the country and form bands where they don't even live in the same city. So maybe that's the thing. I don't know, but it is cool that it does seem to keep moving forward. I totally agree that right now is a really good time for melodic skate punk. There's so many great bands right now.
Yeah.
And then like bands coming back, like you were saying, like bands that haven't put out albums in years are reforming. And so, yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's, we're very stoked to be active right now, and yeah, we're going to ride the wave for sure.
Very cool. Chaser obviously draws influence from bands like No Use and Bad Religion and a lot of those bands that we mentioned. So what are some records that have heavily influenced you guys?
I would say my biggest writing influences, I spoke of Jim Lindbergh earlier, so Pennywise obviously, but I think I'm a very, I wear my heart on my sleeve when it comes to lyric writing. Very open and, you know, very transparent. And I think I'm that way because of No Use for a Name. Like, so Tony Sly is, he, you know, he's very vulnerable in his lyrics. And I'm the same way because, you know what, it allows the listener to be able to relate to it. You know, like there's countless No Use songs and his solo songs where I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's exactly what I'm feeling right now, because he's so transparent and, you know, just puts himself out there. And I take to that because I was able to relate to so much of his work. So that's very much my style. Like I would say he's definitely probably my biggest influence as far as lyricism goes. And yeah, and then other than that, Russ Rankin is probably my biggest influence for as far as just my like delivery. And when I write songs, they're very good riddance-esque. You know, a lot of times the guys in the band will be like, that kind of sounds like a you know, a good written song or a different song you wrote, so let's change this part of it, you know.
Yeah.
Make it a little more unique. But yeah, that's my style for sure. And then Jesse, he's very much into Face to Face, Less Than Jake, No Fun at All. Like he's really into like the kind of bouncy, upbeat, I don't want to say pop punk, but you know, poppy type stuff. He takes big influence from, I'd say probably Face to Face is his biggest influence as a writer. You know, just really melodic, catchy, gang vocal choruses, things like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just vocal hooks is the biggest thing. Sing-alongs. So yeah, and that's what's cool that we, you know, we both write is we both take all those influences and kind of mesh them together. But we come up with our own unique Chaser sound, you know? We make it our own.
I have another question here that is probably asking you the same question again, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'm curious.
Sure.
When you're on your way to the studio to do your vocals, what is your go-to album that you'll pop in just to get yourself amped up and ready to do hours of singing?
Nice. Great call. Great question. The most heavily listened, what I listen to most going to do a vocal session would be No Use's Feel Good Record of the Year. Because it's so heartfelt and just the melodies are so catchy. Like, that's probably one of my favorite No Use records.
It's a great record.
And it's good to warm up to. Like, you know, I'll do my vocal warm-ups and then I'll throw that on and, you know, just sing along with it. And it's just smooth and, yeah, it's very inspirational.
Yeah, and Tony's his voice is like right in my wheelhouse, my key. Like, although as his career went on and he became a better singer, he was able to hit higher notes than I could hit. But he just has a great voice, great tone. And going back to what you're saying about his lyrics, I mean, he was able to masterfully come across as just being like very humble, like you said, like very, you know, vulnerable, and like was able to write things that were deeply personal, but not come off as like contrite or like phony sounding. Like, he just, I don't know how he did it.
No, because you could tell it's from the heart. It's just the best word for me to describe it is just real, 100% real, you know, totally writing from the heart. You know, if he had a bad experience with his relationship or whatever, I'm sure he got a pen and paper and started writing, right, you know, right that very day. You could just tell it's transparent, just is, it's so emotional, you know, totally from the heart. Yeah, that's how we are too, so.
So Dreamers was released on SoundSpeed Records, Thousand Islands Records, Spam Records. This seems like the way things go now. Multiple labels combining to help get records out. How did you connect with all these labels?
Yeah, it's really cool. It's that is a common thing now. And so you have your main label, which for us is Thousand Island Records. And then you have these distributor labels and they all work together, you know, just they work synergistically to, you know, they coordinate, they communicate. And yeah, so SPOM does all of our European distribution. SoundSpeed Records, Chris Manning, does all of our USA. And P Records does Australia for us. Yeah, and they're not isolated to just those countries, but, you know, like Thousand Island ships our album all over the world. If somebody from Europe buys it through Thousand Island, they'll ship it out there to, you know, to them in Europe. It works out really good that way. There's not one central label that's doing all the work, and a lot of times shipping will be just horrendous from one country to another. So it helps out a lot to have, you know, a hub in different areas that can help with the shipping expenses.
Labels used to have, like, you know, there was Fat Europe and, you know, stuff like that, but now it makes more sense just to have these other labels that could do your record, but then they can also do records that aren't maybe on Thousand Island. So they have like the freedom to do what they want to do. That's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It works out really well.
This great artwork was created by Sebas Thirialt at Stereo Design. This is fantastic art. How'd this come about?
Thanks. Appreciate that. We wanted something that, again, kind of goes back to our whole theme of like, achieve your goals, dream big, keep positive. And so we had this concept of, all right, so an astronaut, you know, space is like the final frontier, if you will. Like, so vast, you know? So like, okay, you've achieved things in your life, but you could do more. You could do better. You could be greater. So we had this concept of him on the moon, you know, okay, cool. We made it to the moon, but he's looking out at the vast universe, you know? So it's kind of a metaphor just to dream big. And space is always cool. Like any artwork with space in it is, there's so many possibilities. So you got, you know, stars, planets, you got the really cool celestial colors, that kind of just having that space, concept just kind of really opened the door for like a lot of cool creative stuff. And yeah, so then the astronaut, it's the glare coming from his face mask of his partner, with the flag up and looking out to the vast universe.
I love to like look at album covers when I'm listening to the music. And for me, like after doing that a few times, the art becomes a part of the music becomes a part of the art. And I just so now closely tie the music to that cover, but it sounds like that was exactly what you wanted. So
yeah, perfect. Very, that's awesome. We're very calculated with our approach to things. And we always want everything to kind of tie together. You know, we want a full final package with a bow on top, you know, when we're ready to release it to the fans. So we're really very much perfectionists and almost slightly OCD. There's a lot of thought and communication that goes into everything we do, whether it's writing a song or how we're going to write our set for shows, you know, how one song is going to segue into another. Like everything's very calculated with us. We never just fly by the seat of our pants. And maybe that's just because we're all, I don't know, professionals in our own way and slightly OCD, but we're very, I guess, like I said, the best word for it is calculated. Everything has a conversation before we do it.
Yeah.
And
well, it's a labor of love.
It is. Yeah. We don't put anything out that we're not 100% backing or behind.
That's awesome. Do you guys really agonize over the track list or?
Yeah.
That can be brutal.
It can be, both for sequencing on the album and for live shows.
Oh, and the set list, yeah.
Yeah. We all have really good ideas. But again, we're a team. We're all equal parts and we collaborate. And we ultimately, the end product is always the best because we collaborate. And, you know, if I have what I think would be the best song sequencing and Jesse's like, I don't know, man, like this song should probably go for that. Or Bill's like, you know, this guitar riff would sound really cool after this song. And maybe I didn't think of it. And then, yeah, so we just all communicate and we're just all very much in tune with each other.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, before we close down here, Mike, what does the future hold for Chaser? What are you guys up to? I know you're going to Canada, but beyond that, you got some new songs. What are you guys working on?
Heck yeah, we do. We're writing our new album right now. So we're very excited.
Perfect. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, so in the near future, it's going to be touring. So yeah, Canada this week, a 3-week European tour in July and August. And then we're going to kind of lay low this fall and finish writing and hopefully get in the studio by the end of the year.
Excellent.
Yep. Follow up full length album.
That's exciting news, Mike.
Yeah, we're really stoked. We can't, these new songs. I know everybody says like, oh, these new songs are the best we've ever. Everybody says that, but they really are like just so catchy, so melodic.
Well, you got to say that. You can't be like, well, these are all right. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, for real, it's coming along really, really good. So.
All right. Well, anything to plug? Where can people find you guys on the net?
The best place to find us is chaserpunkrock.com. It's basically like a link tree. Well, it's an official webpage, but it's got all of our platforms where you could stream our music, buy our music. It has a merch store, tour dates, cool pictures, things like that. So yeah, chaserpunkrock.com. Our Facebook is chaserband, @chaserband. And our Instagram is @chaserpunk. So yep, look us up on one of those outlets or stream our music on any streaming platform. Sometimes you got to put in Chaser Punk just to kind of refine it. There's like some like barbershop quartet band with the name Chaser in it. So
awesome. I'm going to get them on the show next week.
Yeah. There's a few things with Chaser in it. So yeah.
Type or you Chaser. Get like a recipe for like an actual Chaser. And you're like, yeah. All right. Drinking game.
For sure. But yeah. And real quick, just want to give a shout out to Thousand Island Records, Soundspeed Records, P Records, and Spawn Records.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for coming on the show and taking me through the record. Like I said, huge fan of this record. I am very excited to hear new stuff from you guys. It was a thrill to talk to you about songs and about 90s punk. So thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Great questions, man. And that's what I really love about your podcast is like you really delve into the writing process. That's kind of what got me hooked from the start. It's one of my favorite things is seeing how bands work from the creative aspect, like how they create songs. Kind of the inner workings that a lot of people don't know about. Yeah, great questions.
Thank you. Yeah, I find that stuff really fascinating. So
I'm all about it.
Well, nice. All right, man. Well, take care. Thank you so much again for coming on, and stay in touch.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see you at a show sometime.
Very cool. All right, Mike. I'm glad we could connect.
Me too, man. Thanks again for your time.
Yeah, take care. All right. I would like to thank Mike for hanging out with me today. Such a blast to go into the process of writing, talking about the recording, talking about the band's positive lyrics, and of course, getting a chance to talk about No Use for a Name. I would like to thank Craig for going with me to punk shows when we were 17-year-olds. I think we went to some metal shows too. I would like to thank Krista Makes from Lust and Jake for the theme music. And I'd like to send a massive thanks to all of you. Thank you so much for spending time listening to the Talking Records podcast. It's all about the music on this podcast. We hope our deep dives add to your enjoyment of the records. I've always felt like knowing more about how my favorite albums were made and the incidents surrounding them shaped my view, or at least round out my appreciation for the music. Don't forget to check us out at talkingrecordspodcast.com and on Instagram and Twitter. If you like the show, please help spread the podcast around by telling some friends about us. All right, everybody, take care.